ourselves and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And it's with a focus on resentment, or I'm sorry, fears and sex. And we are going to hear from Terry F. from Yonkers, New York. Let's give a warm welcome to Terry. Come on in.
All right. Thank you, Emily. My name is Terry. I'm an alcoholic. Sunny, thank you so much for inviting me here. Happy that we nailed down a date. I know that we were going back and forth, so it is good to be here. Honor and privilege to be here. I have a sobriety date. Sobriety date is June 1st, 2019, and a miracle happened on that day with a gift of desperation, screaming loud, and the craving that was beyond my mental control. I didn't quit drinking. I was separated from drinking. I have a home group. My home group is outright mental defectives. Yeah, we crazy. We cuckoo. We meet on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's a speaker meeting. 50 minutes for the speaker and then 20 minutes of Q&A. So come on by if you're free on Saturday tomorrow. I have a sponsor. I sponsor other men. And today I have a beautiful relationship with a power greater than myself that has recreated my life. And this is what we're doing in the process of the inventory, is that we are in the process of recreation. We are in the process of facing and being rid of the stuff that is blocking us off from this power. This is a program of subtraction, getting rid of all the things that are blocking you from the power so that it will burst upon you just like it did at Bill when he had that experience at the cathedral. I'm going to talk about fear and sex, and there's a lot of information that goes in there. I have no idea how I'm going to do it in 30 minutes. Sorry. Let's one at a time, one step at a time, let's say, right? The two main things that people relapse over is money and sex. And a big indicator, and they actually give us clear warnings in the big book. If we are fear of our creditors, a fear of making financial amends, we're surely to drink again. And if our conduct continues in relationships, just change the word sex or relationships. So we're looking at our conduct in relationships, right? And if our conduct continues, we're surely to drink. Those are some clear-cut warnings, right? And this is some very important information that I had no idea that existed until I actually read this book and I had a sponsor take me through this process. And it illuminated the fact that this thing will kill me if I do this. If I don't do this, let's just say that. In our book, it talks about fear, and you guys talk, I would assume you guys talked yesterday about resentment. And what we're doing is we're kind of peeling back the onion here, right? We have this resentment and we peel it back, we find fear. And what's behind fear is self-reliance, the great I, the great MY, the great ME, the great for me. Let me give you an example of what that means. I don't feel like going to a meeting. You know, what's up with my bank account? What's up with my jets? My jets sucked last year. You know, I could go on and on and on. What's happening is I'm being selfish and self-centered, and I don't even know it. I'm just walking around asleep, dreaming I'm awake. We're looking at our selfishness and our self-centeredness in the inventory process. And this is the root of our troubles. You know, I could deal with the branches, the defects of character and the leaves on the tree, but I'm not dealing with the root problem. And the root of the problem is selfishness and self-centeredness. And there's no way of entirely getting rid of self without God's aid. And I can't self-will my way out of this. You know, a sick mind can't treat a sick mind. You know, a broken computer can't fix a broken computer. You know, I need God to make that possible. But I need to look at myself to see what's blocking me and to get rid of that. Because right now, for a long time, what I was doing in my experience is walking around with a lot of nuclear waste that was around my heart, which was blocking me off specifically from the sunlight of the spirit. Because God is within every man, woman, and child in this room. He is. You know, where's the best place for God to hide from an alcoholic? Inside an alcoholic's heart. We ain't going to look there. You know? We're not. I mean, I'd say this all the time. My son's 2 years old. He's not thinking about the drive his success is on. I have arrived. How dark it is before the dawn. Cursing myself for being a weak. No, he's not thinking any of that. Is a constant connection with the power greater than himself. And that's what we're doing, everyone. We're going back home. We're going back home to the land of milk and honey, back to the fourth dimension, back to right here, right now, just like my son, living from moment to moment to moment to moment to moment basis. And when I looked at these fears, in our resentment, I got my book. Why not? Let's go to the book. Go to page 67. Let's go to 67. Hope you brought your books to class. About four lines down, five lines down, it says, fear set the motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve, but did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? And that's a question for us. And I was confused on what that meant. And our fourth column of our resentment inventory is one of the manifestations of self is to be frightened or have fear. And I look at all this ways that I was playing God, and what's behind that was fear. And then I set the ball rolling already. Yes, I did. And I saw that in my fourth column of my resentment inventory. Guys, there's five steps attached to your fourth column of your resentment inventory. Step 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, right? For the love of God, don't burn your fourth step. Yeah, at least make a copy of it before you burn it. I get the idea. Just make a copy because you're going to need it in your fifth step. You're going to need it in 6 and 7. You're going to need it with 8, especially with 8 and 9, right? It is called the key to your future. Why burn the key to your future? Damn. So when I look back and it said fear ought to be classed with stealing, it causes more trouble. And this book was not written for kleptomaniacs, right? A kleptomaniac lost the power to choose whether he's going to steal or not. I'm an alcoholic. I know damn well when I'm going to steal. So when I steal, I make a conscious decision to steal, right? So what's happening is I'm making a conscious decision whenever I'm in fear to rely on myself, the alpha, the omega, the beginning and end all. What is happening, I'm looking at my agnosticism, my agnostic temperament. Whenever I'm in fear, I have an agnostic temperament. I mean, I believe there's a God. Oh yeah, I believe in him, but won't work for me. So this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to go play God. I'm going to step on your toes. You're going to retaliate. I'm going to get angry. I'm going to say, how dare you? I'll go into self-pity and I'll think drink solution, drink answer, right? Fear is it's a corroded, evil and corroding threat. And it says I'm being driven by 100 forms of it, right? I mean, think about it. Like, I'm asleep, dreaming, I'm awake, spirit's asleep. I hop in an Uber driver. Uber driver looks back. Remember, I'm asleep. Uber's like, hey, my name is Fear. Where'd you like to go today, right? Fear just drives me all throughout the day. And that's how I was living my life for a long time. I wasn't even making choices in life. I was being driven. Right? I was making conscious decisions to rely on this up here, when the main problem, the alcoholic, centers in his mind rather than his body. So we look at our fears. We go through our problem. We list them all black and white. That's what it says. And we ask ourselves why we had them. And then ask us another question, which is a fascinating question. It says, didn't self-reliance fail me? Now, I've been through the book so many different ways, and I'd say the easiest and the simplest ways to use actually what it says in the big book. You know, I've taken people through the worksheets, I've done this, I've done that, but I have found that the simplest way is to actually answer the damn question that's in the damn big book. So what ways have I tried to manage and control my fear? Well, this is what I did. This is what I did. This is, say, a fear of heights, or a fear of speaking. Fear of what other, this is a fun one, fear of what other people think of me. I know he's thinking about me right now. I know it, right? I have a fear of it, right? And why do I have it? And I list all these different ways that I try to manage it. And then my sponsor would tap me over the head. He's like, hey, Terry, well, you have all those different ways that you try to manage and control your fear. Why do you still have it? And I was like, well, I don't know. He's like, well, it's because self-reliance failed you, right? I was making a conscious decision to rely on myself, and I was constantly getting hurt. Even when I tried to have self-confidence, it would always make me cocky and it made things worse, right? But now I'm on a different basis. And what basis is that? Definition of basis in the 1930s meant an underlying support or foundation, right? I'm on a different basis of trusting and relying upon God. I came to believe, now I came to trust, now I've come to rely on this power. And this is what we're happening in the fourth step. Transformation does not have to happen at the ninth step, 10th step. It can happen any step. It can, any step that God shows you, and you're awake enough to hear it and feel it. It's an energy that happens here. It just kind of just bursts upon you. Your eyes just open, right? You ever say like, ah, oh, that makes sense. That's a spiritual experience. Oh, those two dots connect. Oh, that makes sense. And I love this line. Where is it at? It says down to the bottom, it says instead we let God demonstrate through us what God could do. Meaning I've had an acquisition of power today. Lack of power is no longer my dilemma, right? Between pages 45 to pages 85, if you do exactly what it says in that process, what it will say on page 85, it says the problem's been removed. What problem is that? Lack of power. I've had an acquisition of power, meaning that I was powerless before. Now I have the power to choose whether I'm going to drink or not because I am interlocked with God today. I'm aligned with God today. I'm back home in the land of milk and honey. I'm living in the fourth dimension right here, right now. Look at Jim's story. Look at Fred's story. Look at the carpet slipper dude. They all had an insane thought and they all took action based on an insane thought. And in between that insane thought and that action or that decision is a very small space, but occupies a very, very large God. And that's what I'm building a relationship with that power, which will separate me from alcohol. And I've had a separation. I'm living in the land of milk and honey. And I let God demonstrate through me what God could do. I no longer have fear of speaking today. I've spoken at a couple conferences so far, but I just let God work through me. It ain't Terry talking right now. It's God working in and through Terry. And I see expressions and I see fingerprints of God all over these Hollywood squares, right? But I'll tell you right now, and we'll get into sex in a little bit. I think my relationship with God is contingent upon my relationship with you, with God's kids, right? God doesn't have any grandchildren. We're all brothers and sisters here. We're equals, right? And if I let God demonstrate through me what God could do, people will see that I'm a demonstration of how it works. People will see I'm a demonstration of the chapter in action. People will see that I'm a demonstration of there is a solution. People will see that I'm a demonstration of a spiritual awakening. They will see that I'm a demonstration of the words in this book. I mean, I was at a meeting at last night, an in-person meeting, and we were reading more about alcoholism. And it said all these different ways that we try to manage and control our drinking on page 31. And it talks about rereading inspirational books. This is an inspirational book, everyone. It really is. But it's not the treasure. It is not. It's a map to that power which will help you live and live happy and will help you at certain times. Meaning, I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen at certain times against the first drink. And I'm building a relationship with that moment right here, right now. And that relationship with God is expanded when I'm helping other people. And I don't see that unless I look at my sex inventory and my sex conduct. Last but not least, when I was doing my fifth step with my sponsor, he had this prayer, which is on the bottom of page 68, right before sex. It says, "At once," I'm sorry, not at once. We ask God, that's a prayer. We ask God to remove our fear and direct our attention to what God would have us be. Be what? Be a father. Be a husband. Be a messenger of hope. Be kind. Be considerate. Be tolerant. Be this. Whenever I'm in fear, I use the fear prayer as a way of life. I mean, you guys remember when you took the drink took you, right? You became the drink. When I actually do a sincere prayer, I become this prayer. I become a demonstration of this prayer. I'll give you an example, not my opinion based on experience I've never had. I'm going to give you my experience on living and practicing this prayer. I remember driving, Sonny, and I'm driving, right? And what was happening is I had this beautiful voice inside that said, "You're not good enough, Terry. You're a POS. Why can't you get a good job? You don't have a pension job. You have a family home. How could you provide blah, 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 blah?" The minion, the narrative, the story in my head. And I believe it's real because I'm listening. Our 10 step says continue to watch. It doesn't say to watch for the manifestations itself. It doesn't say continue to listen to the manifestations itself. What I'm doing is I'm listening to this up here, and I think it's real, right? And I remember listening, and I had a pause moment. That's why we pause when agitated or doubtful. What we do is we put a disturbance and we put a gap in that storyline, that narrative in our head, and the grace of God will come in into my heart and will say the fear prayer. That's what that came into my mind. And I said, "God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And you know what it said? It said, be a driver, because I was swerving. I was going like this and that. Yeah. I was living up in this fantasy world up here, right? Try practicing the fear prayer on the daily plate. Practice it in the morning. John, I don't know why my thumbs went up. The thumb went up. Practice it in the morning. Practice it at night. And practice it all throughout the day. You know why? Because they're going to ask us some real funky questions on page 75. Did I skimp on this? Man, did I? What did it say? Let me read it to you. Where is it? It's a bunch of questions. Blah, 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 blah. Carefully read the first five proposals. Art, blah, blah, blah. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have I skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have I tried to make mortar without sand? What is he talking about? Am I using the prayers as a way of life before I've entered into this fifth step process? Am I using the fear prayer while I'm literally going through the fourth step while I'm writing it? Am I using the third step as a way of life? God, you know, God, I offer myself to thee, to do with me and to deal with me as thou will, right? Am I using it? Even on page 59 has a prayer. 59, go to 59. Oh, this is a big book bounce around today, Terry. Okay, let's do this. All right. We have a first prayer. It says, we ask for God's protection and care with complete abandon. Sounds like my third step before I even get to my third step. Am I saying that prayer in the morning, at night, and all throughout the day while I'm writing inventory? Am I practicing these prayers as a way of life? Am I making mortar without sand? No, I'm using this. Use these as a way of life. Be. Watch your life change when you do this. I'm kind of fascinated when I say, you know, direct my attention to what I'd be, because it just changes every single time. I mean, I remember I was barking with one of my coworkers and I had a resentment and I used the fear prayer, just substituted, you know, fear for resentment. I'll say, God, please remove my resentment and direct my attention to what you would me be. And it said, be a joy bringer. That's what it said. And I'm like, okay, let's bring the joy, baby. You know, let's go spread the love right now. Let's go spread the joy right now. And that's what I did. I got back to right here, right now, because the prayer is very positional. It gets me back to right here, right now. And where's God? Page 59 says it. There's one who has all power. That one's God. May you find him now. That's a time frame. Look at the word now all throughout the big book. Those are all time frames in the big book. I would encourage you, and I would challenge every single person in this meeting to practice the word let. Right? You see the word let all throughout the big book? Go practice that. Go let God demonstrate through you what God could do. Try practicing letting go. Absolutely. Try practicing. Where's that sixth step prayer? I like that one. Oh, where did it go? 76. Are we now let God remove all from us all things which we admitted are objectionable? Practice that. It's not about learning, everyone. It's about becoming. Not about learning, it's about becoming. And then when you become this way of life, you start to be this way of life. And I start to be in the world of the spirit. I start to play the role that I was assigned. So now about sex. My favorite topic, right? Now we go to extremes in sex. And best way I could explain this was explained to me was there's two extremes in sex. You have people, say you're on the highway, right? And your speed limit's 60 miles per hour. And I'm going 100 miles per hour. That's dangerous. Say 130, because I know you guys like living the fast lane. That's dangerous, right? Yeah, that's dangerous, right? Say the next day you're on that same highway and you're driving 10 miles per hour. That's also dangerous as well. So two extremes, too fanatical or too loose. What I'm trying to find is the right ideal. And the right ideal. And this is how I conduct myself in relationships. Now, I'm not the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. I'm not the judge. I don't give hysterical advice or opinions. I mean, I've had someone tell me don't be in a relationship for a year. And you know what all I thought about was being in another relationship, and I'm married already. You know, and that was on my mind all the time. That was an opinion based on experience I've never had. Right. But there's a reason why, you know, I had a moment where I was doing a fifth step, and our fifth step talks about doing a fifth step with person or persons. So you could do it with multiple people. my experience with that is the more people that you tell your deepest and darkest secrets to, the more free you get. How free do you want to be? And I mean, I remember telling my sponsee that one of my inventory, and afterwards he's like, "Damn, Tara, I didn't know how effed up you Yeah. They look at me like I'm some type of spiritual giant. I'm a human being. I'm an equal. I'm walking hand in hand on this broad highway with you. It's not hierarchy. If I think that I'm 1% better than you, or I think I'm 1% less than you, I'm in danger of drinking death. Period. Right? I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. Sex. I told you about the warning that it said, I'm not the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct, but people go out and drink and people don't come back to us, guys. And I remember doing that fifth step with someone, and another individual, and he said something. It was funny because he hijacked the fifth step. I was a sponsor, and my sponsee asked him to join us, and then he hijacked it because he had more years. Like, at first, I wasn't really my sponsee was, but I didn't really care. Then I listened to him, and he's like, "What happens if every single thing that you've heard in AA was good? I mean, it was good advice. I mean, for particular situations." And that just kind of hit me. I connected the dot. I'm like, "Oh, I mean, don't drink, go to meetings." I mean, our book contradicts that. Our step one experience says we can't drink. It's telling us we are going to drink. Like, that's what I'm part of. I'm part of the drink no matter what club. I get that. But someone who can't afford detox, right, and their only defense is fear. And by the way, fear is the most highest form of human intelligence. Our book is more talking about mental anxiety. Let me give you an example. I see a truck coming my way and I'm on the highway. I jump out of the way. That's fear. Right. Well, the big book is talking about is mental anxiety. Right. And I had epiphany where it happened. I'm like, "Oh man, this was good advice based on situations or particular situations that would have happened if someone was handling someone through the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous." Right. They can't have money to go to detox. They can't retreat. They're based in the traditions, and they're based in the service and the unity portion, the triangle, while someone treats their mind, right? With the triangle and circle, right? I get that. But, you know, that's not good for long-term use. But when it comes to sex, it is a game changer. I have friends who are no longer with us. They are dead because of that. They are dead. And what I do, my experience, is I tell people to do two things. Here's the first one. Do whatever the F you want. Go at it. Joe and Charlie got a fun joke, man. You could have all the sex in the first year, and then the second year you could have sex with other people. Just kidding. Right. But do whatever you want. But make sure you're accountable and you're responsible for the actions that you did. That's an experience you have to have. And I have people who went that route, and they're like, "Damn, man, you were totally right. I had to have that experience." Just like alcohol. I mean, who tried to control and manage their alcohol use and got their butt thoroughly whooped? I got a friend in Southern California says a WWA, a well-whooped ass, right? Until I was going to commence to get results, right? Like, I was not going to do any of this work until I got my butt thoroughly whooped, a complete deflation of the ego, right? Like, you can't teach willingness. You can't teach pain. That's an experience they had to have. Or put a pause on it. Put a pause on it. Until we get to this process in the inventory and we look at the 9 questions of your conduct and relationships, right? And to see how your selfishness and your your selfishness and your inconsideration manifests, right? And then 9 questions are fascinating. I mean, I just recently did one for my sponsees. I mean, because, you know, I had on my inventory process, I was telling my sponsor, my wife, my sponsees, my employer, my boss, like, they belong to me. The great I. Remember all that? They don't belong to me, but I thought they belonged to me. And I had no idea that I was asleep to this, right? So when we look at our selfishness and our inconsideration, think about this. In our conduct, our behavior. Say an insane person is put into an insane asylum because he acts insane. Does that make sense? They get put into an insane asylum because they act insane, right? Tommy Fitzumayo. I see you, Tommy. Right? Check this out. But when they're let go from that insane asylum, it's because they act sane. Does that make sense? What's the best way to deal with guilt, shame, and remorse? Stop doing the same behavior. And I can't do that without God's aid. And check this out. God makes that possible. Did a whole talk on that. It was my favorite, one of my favorite topics. And I even looked at the ninth question. Where in the last, I asked how long do I've known these people? Let's say 2 to 5 to 6 years. Where have I been selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate, right? And because of all those three areas, whom did I hurt? Who was attached to this person? What was a blast radius? Who was in the blast radius of this person? Who else did I hurt? Because a ripple effect. When I hurt you, I not just hurt you, I hurt mommy, I hurt daddy, I hurt brother and sister, right? It's a blast radius, right? Where did I unjustly rouse suspicion, jealousy, let me go to the page, I forgot the other one. Suspicion, bitterness, right? And then here's the key question. What should I have done instead? Where was I at fault? Where was I at fault was a combination of all the first 7 questions. But here's the key, the ding ding question is what should I have done instead? And this is our sane and sound ideal. All right. And this is where I can't do this. So I can't self-will my way into a sane and sound ideal. God makes that possible. All right, so let's say if I'm being selfish, I'm being inconsiderate with my sponsees, I'm trying to control what they do, take them through the steps really quickly. And I look through a conduct inventory that I would text you without saying hi first. I just like I'll just text you with a demand. We meeting at this time. Okay, bye. That's how I talk to people. I wasn't just doing it with my spot. I was doing it with everybody, and I would have never been woken up to this. Without this page right here, right? And where was I? Yeah. So I have this sane and sound ideal, and I got a friend in Canada. He actually says he puts it on a little note card, and you carry it with you in your wallet, in your pocketbook, or whatever. And the first time I went through the fifth step, I found out honesty was my first insane and sound because I was dishonest with everyone. Developing and grasping a manner of living that demanded rigorous honesty. Yeah, okay. I developed and polished a manner of living that demanded rigorous dishonesty. I didn't want anyone to know who I was, how I searched madly for the bottle every single morning, how I stole your wallet, hope you look for it. Right? I lived a double life. That was the number one defect that I was doing. The one number one manifestation of self that I saw that my sponsor pointed out, which was just a trend through everything, everything. And I would hold this on and I would ask God in the morning to help me bring honesty into every single relationship that I would be in today, right? Say it in the morning, say it at night, and say it all throughout the day. So 3 times a day, morning, night, all throughout the day. Right? Yeah. All right, back to sex. So whatever our bottom of 69, whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow towards it. We must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided that we bring about still more harm in doing so. Hush, shout out, 3 minutes, okay. In other words, here's a key sentence that's underrated and underlooked. This one right here is directly connected to step 9, 10, 11, and especially the third part of the 12th step, demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. In other words, we treat sex or relationships with anyone, right, as any other problem. Any other problem at home, with our wives, with our family, all that stuff. I actually, you know what? I challenge you guys on one thing. I forgot to mention this. I had someone come up to me and ask me what was the most important relationship in my life. You know what I said, Tommy Fitzumayo? I said, God is the most important relationship in my lifetime. And that's what I said. And this person's like, oh, really? God is most important? I'm like, he's the central fact of my life. That's what I said. Like, oh, really? Have you ever used the 9 questions to see how your conduct and behavior is with your relationship with God? I'm like, no, I've never done that. And I actually did. And I found out I was a pretty crappy friend, Tommy. I don't know, maybe spend 1 to 5 minutes with God per day. Right? I challenge everybody in this room to try that out. Right? And it says in meditation, so you don't have to wait until to step 11 to do meditation. Meditation is focused thinking. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate, right? When you meditate, you focus your thinking on the problem. When you focus your thinking on the problem, when you meditate, you focus your thinking on the solution, on God's word. And I'm not supposed to bring into all these different relationships in meditation, ask God what I should do about each specific manner. The right answer will come if I want it to come. I'm not going to change if I don't want to change. And it's going to give us a clear warning right in the next page. If my conduct, it continues, and if I'm not sorry for this, I'm sure to drink. And they're not theorizing. This is facts based on their experiences. And I actually seen this. I witnessed it. So if you're looking to get a relationship, just put a pause on it until you get to this process in the inventory and see how your conduct is being and your selfishness is manifesting in your relationships. Then thanks. Thanks, John. And I would highly recommend to get to this part. And let's go to page 70 then. To sum up about sex, this is what I'd recommend. Middle of the page, we earnestly pray for the right ideal. So you pray for the right ideal. You find out where you've been lacking. You do the complete opposite. If you were selfish, you ask God to help you be unselfish. And for guidance in each questionable situation, our whole life is based on is a series of choices, living from choice to choice to choice. I mean, I had a choice last night. I was driving back from seeing Tommy Fitz. And I was like, should I go to Burger King or should I go to the diner? That's a questionable situation, right? Okay, I lean back. Hey, God, what should I do? All right, go to Burger King. Make a right or go to Burger King. Questionable situation, right? And here's a good one. I would pray for sanity, for soundness of mind in this situation with this relationship. And here's a good one. And strength to do the right thing. Not the next right thing. Do the right thing right now. And if you have issues with sex, this is what I would recommend to you. Throw yourself harder into helping others, right? It will quiet that imperious urge. What Joe and Charlie said, it will quiet that horniness within you, right? These are all things that we are looking at. And we are going to give it to God and give it to another human being and admit it to ourselves. That's the key word in the fifth step, is to admit. 1930s definition of admit means to let in. I'm letting this into my gut, into my soul, that I need to change. And God will change you if you want to be changed. And the only way of doing that is doing the work, and God will work on you. I know I'm my way out of time. I'm sorry for going over. And last but not least, pew, 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 pew.